What is going on, Fightful Select? This is Rob Wilkins, and I want to welcome you to our very first retro review. The other guy you see there, his name is Joel Pearl. How you doing, Joel?
I'm doing wonderfully. How are you doing, Rob?
I am doing well. I am excited. We are going to be covering a fantastic match, one that easily is one of my favorite Cactus Jack matches, and the person he had a feud with is, in my mind, his best opponent in WWE, in my opinion. Those two had, and that's none other than Triple H, those two had a battle where, if you watch it, they did so well at making each other like act like they didn't like each other, but it goes back so much further in how great these two performers are, and I cannot wait to talk to you about this match. What, from your memories, like going back, what is something that you liked about this match so much?
So, like you said, not only did everyone elevate each other in this match, but there's also a third person to take into consideration here, and that's Stephanie McMahon. And we'll get into it during the match, but like, she had so many amazing moments of just facials and being the best heel. And she just knew what part she was playing so well, and her playing off of Mick Foley, Mankind, Cactus Jack at that time, you could tell that it was going to set the stage for something really cool when they have to interact again so many years later. Cause you know, as we know, they become general manager, commissioner, all that stuff. So that's something to kind of keep an eye on, but the match itself was great. I remember being a 13-year-old kid and watching the street fight at the Royal Rumble between Jack and Triple H in a movie theater in Ottawa, Canada, and like surrounded by fans, everyone going wild. And it was just the coolest experience ever. That really like roped me in and made me a big time fan.
Awesome. And the event that we are talking about is none other than No Way Out 2000. It was on card. Fantastic match, and it was fun. Like I told you earlier today, I rewatched it again yesterday, but I watched it probably a few weeks ago, and it's such a good event because there were some other great matches. You had Big Show versus The Rock, at the time Too Cool, they were huge. They went against the Radicals, which was Benoit, Malenko, and Perry Saturn. I mean, there's just all kinds of things going on in that show. And
Kurt Angle, the Eurocontinental Champion. Never forget that. And the iconic moment where after his match against I think it was Jericho and Chyna. After that match, Jericho and Chyna like rush him and throw him into the trunk of his rental car.
Yeah,
come on, good shit like that.
Yeah, and it was good, and I mean, since WWE Network has moved over, like for me, it moved over to Peacock, so you can't really, like I have a hard time I have to fast forward through them to get to the point, and I was watching The Rock, and probably the last minute of The Rock and Big Show, and then it was good, like Shane McMahon comes in and just hammers The Rock with the chair, and then right after that ended, they went into the video package of what set up Triple H versus Cactus Jack. And we know that WWE loves to do video packages for every match almost. When you go back and look at this one, I think it was one of the best ones, like in my mind, that they've done. Cause it really, especially if you don't remember watching that match, it's one of the best ones they did because they went pretty in depth in just a short amount of time. And I go, those two have had an amazing career against each other. I was at SummerSlam 99 in Minneapolis where Triple H, everybody and their mom thought Triple H was going to win his title that night for the first time. And that didn't happen. Mankind won it. And then the next night, Triple H won it in, I believe, Ames, Iowa. And, I mean, even before that, when Mankind got his first WWF title, remember how that crowd, like DX helped him, you know?
Yeah.
DX was there. And you just look at the history that those two have had, and Mick Foley has been on the record saying that the way that he got to go out was he liked it, and he was very emotional because it was it. Like, in his eyes, he thought that would be it. Granted, WWE brought him back to wrestle a few years later against Batista and Randy Orton with The Rock. But
they brought him back 3 weeks after they retired him. So they had no plans of actually retiring him.
Well, that's like when it just reminded me exactly, and I totally forgot about that. But it also reminds me kind of like when John Cena lost to Wade Barrett, he was going to be fired, and the next night, what was it, Juan Cena or something like that? It was just fantastic. But let's get into this match. You were going to go into how this match got set up, and the month previously at Royal Rumble, they had a street fight. That street fight was pretty good. What do you think of that?
Oh, it wasn't pretty good. It was an excellent street fight. That was probably one of my favorites from that whole time frame. And these two, while that was maybe their first big match, everything had been kind of festering since, you know, Triple H married Stephanie. And then we had, you know, they had the Vegas marriage. And the next thing you know, we're getting to the end of 1999. And then we have, Vince versus Triple H at Armageddon. And Stephanie turns on Vince and joins Triple H. And now they're happily married. But Mankind objects to this whole power play marriage thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get to the point where I don't think people remember that. At that point, it was like Triple H and DX versus The Rock.
Yeah.
So they started putting The Rock in all of these positions. Like, at the end of 99, they put The Rock and Mankind in a pink slip on a pole match, and Mankind lost. Then they started running the infamous Have a Bad Day promos. And those promos were like, I think it was Midian pretending to be Mankind, going to, like, the grocery store and being told to GTFO and all these things, basically being treated like garbage until Mankind finally found fake Mankind and beat the crap out of him and, like, locked him in a freezer. And that's a whole other story for another time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, The Rock keeps having these, like, getting The Rock fired match. So, like, they had The Rock team up with X-Pac to take on New Age Outlaws, and then Mick Foley comes in, or Mankind comes in and saves The Rock. They do a six-man with DX, and then it's The Rock and Mankind and the Acolytes. The Rock and the Acolytes brawl, and everyone leaves the ring except for Mankind and Triple H. They're left alone. Triple H beats the crap out of Mankind. And then the next week on SmackDown, or actually when Mankind gets, this is funny, Mankind gets a little bit of offense on Triple H in that six-man match. And as he leaves after doing, I think, a desk spot, he runs him into the announcer's desk. He does a little subtle bang-bang. And then all of a sudden, we get to SmackDown, January of 2000, Cactus Jack emerges. And that's when we go to the street fight at the Royal Rumble. And, of course, Jack loses. Triple H has a giant hunk of wood in his leg. And you see that in, like, the post-match video, whatever thing on WWF.com.
Yeah.
And then we get the challenge to do the Hell in a Cell match. And when he does it, Triple H says, I'll put the title on the line, but you got to put your career on the line.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was a kid, and I was like, he's got to win the title. There's no way Cactus Jack is going to lose.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff. The DX Express gets blown up. There were the fake cops that arrest Cactus Jack, and they put him into a cage. And then at the end of the night, this is on a random SmackDown, they take the curtain off of this random cage, and it's actually the jail cell is a cage, and it's attached to the DX Express. And they drive the DX Express away with Mankind, or with Cactus Jack, in the cage.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. There's so much good shit. The build-up was so much fun, and then the match was just really cool and really interesting and really strange all at the same time.
Yeah, it was.
That's kind of the build there.
Because when you said strange, it felt... What I liked about this match so much is, going into it at the time, it was one of those matches usually when you get the retirement matches, sometimes, you know, this one I didn't think was going to go that way. Like you said, I was like, I don't see him losing. I don't see, like, he's one of their biggest popular characters, and they can't lose him. And it was a fantastic match. The thing too was as the match went on, I started realizing, I'm like, he's going to lose, because they were starting to do spots that he did in his infamous King of the Ring 98 match against The Undertaker. That's when it started hitting me. I'm like, he's going to lose. And then I started thinking about it at the time. I'm like, I mean, maybe it's time for him to, like, maybe he wants to. His body's beat up, like, unbelievably bad. And it was one of those things, once the match ended, I kind of just sat there and, like, huh, I wonder what they're going to do. And I always thought maybe there's a possibility that he'll come back as, like, Mankind, you know, like, or something like that is what I thought they might do. But, yeah, fantastic match. This pay-per-view, like I said earlier, was a fantastic card. So this match, the Hell in a Cell, when you think Hell in a Cell, the first match that usually comes to mind, obviously, is Mankind versus The Undertaker. A lot of people will say HBK versus The Undertaker at Bad Blood. This one is in my top three, though, for me. And I'm curious if, like, would you say that's, like, in your top three, or would you say top five?
No, it's probably in my top three. It's a match that I'll never forget. It also, like I said, it was strange because the crowd was mostly sitting on their hands until they broke out of the cell. But the stuff they did in the cell was really good stuff. They had a lot of really good and brutal spots, but the crowd was so, they were just led to believe that things only happen once you escape the cell. And that wasn't the case. And the whole story going into it was Cactus saying, I'm going to recreate these spots, but I'm going to toss you off the cell instead of The Undertaker who tossed me off. And so Triple H was like, I'm going to do everything in my power to not leave Hell in the Cell. To the point where, like, when the match starts, the cage comes down, Cactus goes right for the cell, and it's padlocked the entire way around. And he's, like, freaking out. How do I do this now? Triple H just smiling, and Stephanie's just laughing at him from across the stage. Like, it's perfect. That little bit of storytelling really added to the match. But we knew they were going to get out of the cage. Come on.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, the match inside the cage was great, too. I remember how Mankind, or Cactus Jack, rather, he basically busted open Triple H he was by the stairs and he did I call it catapult. I don't know the exact name of the move, but he just threw him into the steel cage. And then next thing you know, Triple H had busted open, and then Mankind, I think, helped him out. I keep saying Mankind, but I know it's Cactus Jack. Started, I think, helping him blade a little bit, because they didn't show what he was doing. They made it look like he was punching him after Triple H landed right by the stairs. And the fact that they did it, like, with that little room, not much room. I mean, we're talking maybe 2 or 3 feet in between. And I think that's what made it look so much, like, made it look so special, because it was, like, right there. You're in it. Like, I mean, WWE now, they like to make sure you're in it by the zooms, and we can't stand it. But the way they did that was, it made you feel like you were over top, like you were on top just watching them, you know, kind of like that. And the match, the more it went on, the more, like, for me, I got more into it and more invested. And I already knew from the month before, like, these two are going to put on a show no matter what. And it exceeded my expectations. And just everything that went on in that match, and, you know, when they did get on top, the thing that a lot of people go back and remember is the fire on the 2x4 and hitting Triple H with it, and just, they're doing their thing. And I mean, just Mankind, they both went all out. I know a lot of people think about, like, what Cactus Jack did in this match, but Triple H, the thing is, it takes two to tango, and Triple H, it's one of his best matches too. I mean, everybody talks, when they say Triple H matches, you think back about Undertaker and him, but this I think is his. If there was, like, a Hall of Fame, if you had to pick different feuds for Triple H, I would say this is his number two, just in my opinion. Cactus Jack, Mankind, Mick Foley, Dude Love, that was his that's going to be like one of his biggest foes of all time, definitely. And those two had so much chemistry in a ring. Mick Foley has been on record saying that he thinks he had the most chemistry, like, with The Rock, but he says some of his greatest, like, memories in WWE ring was with this guy, Triple H. And you can see it if you go back and watch their matches, even when they were, like, on the same side from when Mankind, at the time Mankind won the title, and then you bring back the Cactus Jack character, and when Cactus Jack came back, I remember I marked out like a crazy kid because I was an ECW guy. I, like, when he came in, I felt like I would never see the Cactus Jack that I remembered from WCW, ECW, and they brought him back, and that bang bang, like you said, when he did that, I'm like, oh my God, they're bringing it back. Like, right then I knew they were bringing it back again, and it was just, it was magic.
They had two very different styles, Mick Foley and Triple H, and it worked perfectly together, especially in a match like this where you had Hunter, who wanted to be more brutal but wrestling, and you had Cactus Jack, who wanted to be brutal and I'm going to murder you. Wrestling doesn't matter. I'm going to throw you into the cage. I'm going to rub your head up. I'm going to make you bleed. I'm going to make you suffer. But of course, Jack takes the worst bumps as well, because he takes the knees to the stairs. Like, how do you do that? You ruin your knees. The amount of headshots that Cactus Jack was willing to take, it was insane. In one spot in particular, Jack takes a chair to the head and then bumps back, and the back of his head and his neck goes into the mesh of the cage.
Mm-hmm.
That alone just shows, like, the kind of ridiculous lack of caring that Cactus Jack has for his body, that Mick Foley has. But man, just the whole beginning of that match, before we even leave the cage, was brutal. They took out as much as they could. And you talked about Triple H blading and then having maybe Jack help him out.
Yeah.
The announcers at that point are saying he's biting him. Cactus Jack is biting Triple H.
Yeah.
And, like, as a kid, you're like, oh my God, that's ridiculous. Like, how could he do that? That's gross. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
But it's perfect. They're putting the perfect lyrics to this music in front of us. And then you have, like, Jerry Lawler, who's obsessed with Stephanie's looks. And he's like, isn't she beautiful?
Yeah.
JR is like, yeah, physically she is.
Yeah.
King just says, physically beautiful on the inside and out. That's like a Cameron Grimes.
Typical Jerry Lawler. And that's, like you said earlier, Stephanie McMahon, man, she in my opinion, that was right when she became a star, man. Like, those, you could not stand her. Like, it was like, you know, you granted, nobody ever trusted Vince McMahon because of him as Stone Cold, but when she turned on her father at that time, that was the last thing I expected. Like, at that time, I was not expecting that, because I thought they were going to do, like, Test would make the rescue, and that's how they were going to get Test to be a megastar, and nope. And
so much.
Yeah, that was a swerve right there. That was a swerve of swerves for me, because that was the last thing I pictured. I did not picture her actually being on Triple H's side for that.
Nice.
And going back to, like, how they started, that wedding, or their, like, when they got married, where she freaked out at the wedding on Raw, and then, like, how Triple H showed the video. That's infamous when you think about the Attitude era. That's one of the things they always show in highlights, and it was hilarious because Triple H is like, she said yes, like, you know, and you just can't help but just laugh about it. So, and I still enjoy that whenever I see it. It's just it was comical, and it just started, like, so perfectly. How, I mean, that feud, those two just kept going at it, and that's what thing that's beautiful about those feuds back in the day. And now, and I'm not trying to be hard on WWE, but you don't see those emotional feuds anymore like he used to. I don't think. You know, like, it's just, to an extent.
They're few and far between. Now it's the Roman product, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, and exactly. And, I mean, there was some times, like, throughout where you would see some emotion, like, between the two. Like, I think the last time where, like, I can personally, like, think back was probably around, like, when you get, like, the Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins stuff. Those two had a, they had a, like, Dean Ambrose was hilarious. He would dump the ice on Seth Rollins and say, like, what, and then hit him with the bucket. And that was one of the most, those two did so well. It kind of reminded me of Cactus Jack, Mick Foley, and Triple H, because they were friends, like, at one time in the beginning, because Triple H was there when Mankind, they lifted him up on his shoulders when he won the WWF title for the first time. And then you think back how Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose were brothers. It just kind of gave me that feel, like, of those two. I'm not saying it's the exact same. It just gave me, like, it reminded me at that time. And that's the one thing that I love about wrestling now, is I wish we get the in-depth. That's what's great about AEW. Like, Eddie Kingston, when he saved John tried to save John Moxley, and he did, because somebody messed up with a bomb, or with the explosion. But you could see that emotion, like, how it turned. And when you get emotion into wrestling, when everybody's involved, nothing is better. That is the best thing. And at this time, everybody that I can remember was on Mick Foley's side with this. Triple H was the biggest heel that he, in my opinion, that he ever was then. Because you just wanted somebody to get to him. And yeah, that's how it was.
We were at a point where they kicked out Vince McMahon, they kicked out the boss, they became the power. They had their close friends, DX, running the show with them, and everyone else was a puppet, was being made to look foolish, unless they were on the undercard, and then it had nothing to do with them, and the undercard didn't care. But the point was, there was still so much heat on Triple H because you had him running the show, and he wasn't an official. He didn't run anything. He was a wrestler. Yeah. He got put into a position because he married the boss's daughter in very questionable fashion. And she was going along with it. And it was just the way they did it was, at the time, frustrating for a lot. But looking back, kind of masterful. Yeah. They did a really good job of making people matter in that storyline.
And then what's good about that, or what is funny about that, is what you said, everybody was mad. In the back, there were some people that had problems with it. But Triple H went to the one guy, other than Vince, that you go to, and that was The Undertaker. Undertaker pretty much said, hey, do what you got to do, you know? That's Undertaker was okay with it, you know? And that's what Triple H is like, okay, if he says it's okay, then it's good. You have the judge. Undertaker was the judge, jury, and the executioner when it comes to the stuff in the back with WWF during that time. Mm-hmm. And that was, if you got approval from him, you could basically do whatever you wanted, you know, like, to that extent. And I think over time, people realize that Triple H loves the business. And granted, he did get bigger because of who he married, but he was originally, if you go back and think about Triple H's career, If the click, goodbye to the click, didn't happen, who knows? He was supposed to win that ring, King of the Ring, that Stone Cold won.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. It's just amazing how that career changed in years. Vince trusted him. And those two, going back to the match, just, they did so well at making you feel like they hated each other. Triple H, he he did so well. Like, you could just look at him and you could just see the hate he had. And the funny thing is when the match was over, those two were great. Like, they loved each other. They thought they had fun. They stole the show. And that was good. That's the thing that you want. You want the in-depth drama of a match, and those two had it, and they'll always have it.
Yeah, and that is something that they will always treasure together, and they went to that war together. They put that together. So it meant a lot. They obviously care a lot about each other. They trust each other a lot. But the match itself just really had a lot of elements to it that made it special.
Yeah, and like when Triple H did the the cell, like when he did the backdrop on the cell roof, that's what pretty much when we were getting the end of the match and Cactus Jack went through, hit the mat, and they had it set for him, obviously, because he went through, but that's what they were paying, like, homage, I think, back to the 98, and he went through that, and he just couldn't survive it. Triple H came down, hit the pedigree, covered Cactus Jack, Triple H retains his title, and you could see the emotion from Cactus Jack after that match when he's walking away. It was just in the crowd reaction. Like, they weren't too happy with what went down. And the thing that I noticed most yesterday, or the most, like, now when I go back and when I watched it, was the fact that I saw more emotion in Mick Foley that match than I've ever seen before. Like after it was all said and done, because he knew that he was done full time. Like, that, he knew that. And basically, he went all out in his last match, like the one he considers like the big one, because that was it. That was his last one, like I said, before he went into like part time work. And he had a heck of a career. You know, it just goes back to, I go back and think about his WCW days with like Vader and so many other people, and then ECW and the Boiler Room and Paul Bearer. You know, he just, you go back and you see all these different things, and he did so good at entertaining the WWE fan, or the wrestling fan in general. He is beloved still to this day. When he walks, like when he comes back, he's cheered. The only time I've ever felt bad for him was during that 24/7 thing when he introduced that. That was pretty cringy, but that wasn't him by any means.
So, yeah, he was just playing a part.
Yeah, so just two fantastic wrestlers who put on a fantastic story. And, you know, the one thing that Vince McMahon has said, we're making movies, pal. That was a movie. Their feud was a movie, and they gave it their all. And when it comes to classic feuds, this is up there.
Yeah, this isn't the end of their feud either.
Yeah.
It continues on through WrestleMania. It continues on, you know, even without Foley there, they still take little shots at him throughout the time until Linda brings him back less than a month later. Yeah. And says he'll be in a four-way at WrestleMania 2000. But that's another story for another time.
Yeah, and that reaction when Linda brought him back, my goodness, that reaction, because Linda was like, she was the ultimate face at that time. Like, she was
uninvolved from everything else.
Yeah,
she was de facto face. Shane McMahon, you know, wasn't the face, because he had just taken out The Rock and put Big Show in the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie was with Triple H. We know, we just talked about that. Vince McMahon was only a face because he had The Rock. Mm-hmm. And even that, we were waiting for the other shoe to drop, because Linda McMahon is so pure and was only seen as the one who comes out and makes things right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course people were going to do that. She was the lawful good of the McMahons. And so was Mick Foley. So was Cactus Jack. He was lawful good.
Yeah.
So it made perfect sense for those two to be paired up, even though it didn't need to be a McMahon in every corner. But that's, again, another story.
That was around the time where, like, thinking about the kayfabe part, when, I don't know if you've seen the footage, but when Linda came out, that was around that same time frame when a fan jumped over the rail, and you're kind of watching Triple H walk up the... Triple H sees a fan. You don't know if the fan's going after Linda or whatever, but you see Triple H grab the fan and start beating on him, and Linda's just like watching, and it just, like, you're kind of like, just at that time I was just like, what is going on, who? And then it just was a split second and you realize, oh, that's a fan. But you didn't really think about, at that time, you didn't think it, like, anything of it, but it just reminds me of just everything that went on from that whole time period, is, and just, it, that was just a little side tidbit, but it was so, those two, just, they're great. And I had the opportunity in 2011 to go to a comic convention in Chicago, and Mick Foley was, he had a table, he was doing autographs, and I had the chance, I asked him, I go, when this was actually before he got into the Hall of Fame, so it might not have been then. I've gone to that Comic Con so many times, I can't even remember what year. But I asked him, who do you want to induct you, or who would you like? And I actually said, would you have Triple H do it? He goes, I would love Triple H. If they wanted Triple H, he says, it comes down to Vince, is what he said. He goes, it's whoever Vince wants, and for the most part. And he goes, if I'm lucky to get in, he goes, I don't care who does it. I would love to be in there. If you want to do it, I'll, that's what he said to me. If you want to do it, I'm like, I'll do it. But he's like, yeah, Vince probably won't have that. And he just joked. And that's something that I just always remember, was his humor. And he was hilarious. Like, just the different things, like, Mrs. Foley, his mom, like, how he talked about his mom. And then you go back to the Rock days, like the This Is Your Life. Just, he was so unintentionally funny, like, to people. It was just hilarious, and that was what he was doing. He knew that he wanted to, he did everything in his power to make sure fans went home happy and that he wasn't a problem. Like, he didn't cause, like, somebody to leave because they weren't happy. You know, he wanted them entertained, and he did it.
He's an excellent performer. Still is to this day.
Yeah.
When he comes back, he's always fun.
Yep, still is. And, well, guys, this went a little bit longer than I anticipated, but that's because it was so, so good. And I definitely recommend, if you have never seen this match, that you definitely need to watch it. These two put on a story, and I would tell anybody, if they ask me what feud, like, what's a series of matches I should watch, I will always tell them, Mankind, Mick Foley, Cactus Jack, whoever, when he's wrestling Triple H, watch him, because those two always tell a story inside that squared circle. And I can't help but thank you very much, Joel, for doing this with me. It means a lot. And to anybody that watches this, this is hopefully our first episode of many. We're going to do hopefully a lot more reviews. This is one of my favorite things to do, is talk about wrestling, and that's great wrestling. And I have the pleasure of working for Fightful. I do AEW Dynamite coverage every Wednesday night. I do NXT coverage every Tuesday night. I also help Kyler with social media. So if you don't follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, please do. It means a lot to us. And you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on Twitter. Joel, can you tell me where people can find you?
I am not hard to find. I'm at Joel Pearl, JOELPEARL, all over the internet. You can find me also running my podcast, Tim and Joel Call It in the Ring, every single week, twice a week, over at youtube.com/TimAndJoelPod. And finally, with the Fightful stuff, I do most of my Fightful work over at twitch.tv/FightfulGaming, where I run the Impact watch-along streams, myself, Steven Jensen, who's part of the Weekender podcast, and a rotating third. We bring on some people. Rob, you've been with us a few times. Yeah. We watch Impact on the screen. We talk a little bit, not just about Impact, but about all wrestling. We do a little bit of everything over there. And then on that same Twitch channel, we'll do some late night hustling, some late night show, usually on a Friday night when the schedules all, you know, pan out. And Dynamite's not on a Friday night at 11 p.m. And we're not all working away on other stuff. But we get together and we talk and we play games all together over on twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Come and join if you haven't yet, friends. We're a good time.
Yeah, for sure. And one last thing before we let you go. If you end up watching this and you like it, please leave a comment. That lets Sean know that you want us to keep doing this, and that would mean a lot. With that said, we're going to call it, and we appreciate you. And more than anything, we appreciate you being a Fightful Select member. That goes a long way for us at Fightful.com. You already know the value that you get. You get Sean Ross Sapp's Q&As. That's, in my opinion, that's worth the admission by itself. I learn something new every time I listen to that show, and I listen to it. I like them. They're very informative. But the other thing that's the most popular is Alex Pulowski's Sour Graps. The best way I do the tagline is, he watches Raw so you don't have to, and he explains it to a T. He kind of tells you what he would have done or what he didn't like. It's a fantastic show. I definitely recommend you watch that. And there's so much more. You got the Weekender podcast, like Joel mentioned, with Steven Jensen. He covers WWE NXT UK, 205 Live, Impact, BTE. He covers so much, and he has a great podcast. And there's so much more. You get the exclusive news first. I mean, a couple weeks ago, Sean has been breaking stories like crazy. And because of you, he gets to do that because you're a Fightful Select member, and we truly do appreciate you for being with us. And thank you again, everybody. Peace out, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye. I have to stand.